These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
It is 95.3 WBEV. Apologies for the delay there. We were having some significant technical difficulties there as the phone did not want to cooperate there. So we are going to do a long segment here for Community Comment to bring it to the half hour, because as you just heard, we cleared quite a few ads there. So with a long break of Community Comment, we will get to Terry Bell in just a second. Wanted to remind you quickly here that Community Comment is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering. Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space. With over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP, hardwood tile, area rugs, and window finishings, it's so much more than floors. It's a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. See them now for their Pro Edge sharpening. It is never too late to go get that taken care of, whether it is your lawnmower, but they sharpen blades of all kinds. If it has an edge, they will sharpen it. Saw blades, drill bits, hole saws, knives, scissors, chipper blades, ag blades, and almost anything with an edge. Just call 920-887-8341. And now, after much anticipation, here is Terry Bell with today's Community Comment.
Much, Jake, for the kind introduction and all your efforts behind the scenes to get us on the air this morning. Welcome to Community Comment. I'm Terry Bell. And today we're going to be talking about Mayville with Mayville Mayor Rob Belk. Mayville is located on the Rock River. It's an historic gateway for tourists to the Horicon Marsh. Mayville boasts an array of businesses from cigar factories and breweries to piano stores and creameries. Mayville boasts a combination of quality employers and a skilled workforce with highly regarded work and personal ethic. Mayville is a welcoming community, a community of safe neighborhoods and affordable housing with excellent learning and medical facilities close by. It's a community which describes itself as having endless recreational and sightseeing opportunities. And here to talk with us more about that is the mayor of Mayville, and we'll be talking about many more things too. Rob Bell, thank you for being with us on Community Comment.
Hi, well, thanks for having me, Terry.
Of course, Rob. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Yeah, it's Belk. The O is silent.
Belk. Okay, very good. Glad we took care of that. Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Mayville currently.
Well, you know, we just had this tornado come through our town about 3 to 4 weeks ago, and so we're still dealing with some of the cleanup efforts and aftermath. The cemetery is partially owned by the city of Mayville. We had some major damage out there, so we're trying to clean that up and dealing with insurance company, along with a bunch of residents. I got 7 or 8 families right now displaced that are living in temporary housing until their homes can be restored or rebuilt. So we're just dealing with that. And of course, there's a bunch of factories in town that were also damaged. And I've been dealing with some of them as far as what the city could do to help them out.
What sorts of things have these damaged property owners are dealing with right now?
Well, there's a lot of big old oak trees that we had, 3, 4, 5 feet in diameter that were uprooted, and of course that makes a mess on your front lawn or in your yard. So insurance won't cover a lot of that cost. So you really need a high hoe to come in there to dig them up and put new soil down, and that's pretty much at the expense of the homeowner. So we do have a relief fund. It's called the Mayville Disaster Relief Fund. That people can make out checks to donate, and it goes through the city, so it's actually a 501(c) that's tax deducted. So we're trying to collect enough money so we can help these residents out and anything else that they have out-of-pocket expenses for.
Is there a target goal for that fund, or is it very open-ended?
No, it's open-ended. I think we raised about $16,000-$17,000 up to date. So we're hoping to get some, maybe some corporate donors. We already had a lot of companies donate, like Generac was very generous, donated a bunch of generators at the time of tornado to get things up and running. We've had MEC was very generous. Metalcraft was very generous. So, you know, we have companies in the area that have been helping us out as much as they can with either, you know, direct funding or with materials and supplies to help us out.
How are people holding up emotionally? You know, we hear about a lot of when a tornado happens in a place, we hear a lot about how it has affected the physical aspects of a community. How are people dealing with this?
Yeah, there's me personally and my family, I know we had a bunch of storms come through last night. They're a little on edge, right?
Sure.
They're in the basement, you know, probably, some people might think it's funny, but they're in the basement right away now because they're just terrified of what might come. So there are some psychological, emotional issues that are going on with some people. So, you know, that's always taken into account as well. And, you know, I think it's going to take time.
All right. What sorts of things are people saying to you as the community bounces back?
Well, they're happy that the cleanup effort just went as quick as it did for the majority of it. You know, there a lot of people are concerned that they're not going to be able to rebuild. There's a bunch of older homes because we are an old community that they have structural damage, so they're waiting for the insurance company to have a structural engineer come and take a look. So he has to make the decision whether it's structurally sound or not, and if it's not, they're going to have to demo these old houses. We have a big old cheese factory in town right on Main Street that's probably, you know, 150 years old. They have potentially structural damage, so that's being evaluated. And then in the meantime, one of our factories, Gleason Real, has been, you know, severely damaged, and they rented out some extra space at a nearby facility to start their operation, you know, halfway in order. You know, I know the city of Mayville, I've offered them free land on the North Industrial Park along with some cost that we could pick up for a rebuild. They haven't got back to me yet, so they're going to evaluate what they're going to do going forward.
You mentioned the factories that were damaged by the tornado, and I was curious to know, what's being done for the people who own these factories, who work at these factories. I mean, are people who work at these facilities, are they losing income? Are they still working?
I know at Mayville Engineering Company, they're all back to work. They were up and operational within 3 to 4 days, which is, you know, outstanding job on their part to get things up and running for their production. Gleason Real, like I said, they had space available at a nearby facility, so I think some of them people have been transferred over there temporarily to get some operations back and running. And the Canny Company, I'm not 100% sure what's going on there yet. I know they had significant damage as well. And I know the PPAC is coming up here within the next few weeks, so I think some employers have insurance that might cover some of the lost wages, but besides that, I'm not sure.
As the mayor of Mayville, what are the city's responsibilities going forward in what I imagine will be a months-long recovery process?
Yeah, I mean, when I was at home at the time the tornado hit, I was in my basement, and I didn't have, you know, hardly any damage at all, just some limbs here and there. But, you know, I knew something happened when my phone was going off the hook 10 minutes afterwards because, obviously people have been reporting in. So, you know, the first thing the city ended up doing is meeting at City Hall because we have a generator backup to get us up and running. And then we made a game plan right away. And I think our DPW department did an excellent job opening up the streets. That was the biggest thing that we did, is get the snowplows back on and open up as much streets as we can for emergency service personnel. And Alliant did a great job. I can't say enough about Alliant shutting off the gas and the power in town to make sure everyone was safe, because that's typically the time when people are going to get in trouble, right after the tornado hits, because there's live power lines and backfeeding in the lines. So they did an outstanding job, too. So, it's going to take some time. I think I would say about 95% of the cleanup has been completed by our DPW and Parks Department. We still have a little bit left to do. A lot of it's going to come in the form of some heavy equipment. We have big trees still down in the river. We're going to have to figure some stuff out. We've been in contact with the DNR, what we can and cannot do in the river. So, yeah, it's probably going to be, you know, realistically an all-summer effort to get everything back 100% back normal.
I was just going to ask you, was there a time frame for getting things done? Does it sound like, Mayville will be completely back to normal by, say, Labor Day?
That's the plan. I mean, you know, it's like anything, right? You come up with a plan, you hope the plan sticks, but things change and there's different variables too. But that is the goal, is to get everything done back by Labor Day, to get all these trees that are uprooted in our parks and private property owners, to get that back restored and get these trees out of the river. Some of our headstones were damaged in the cemetery, and, you know, that wasn't covered by insurance. So some of this funding will help alleviate some of that cost as well.
Yeah, that's a terribly important thing for the families of the people buried in those cemetery. Will the headstones be replaced completely, or will there be attempts to repair the headstones?
Yeah, if we can repair the headstones, we will. And if some of them might have to be completely replaced, we'll try to get enough money raised that we can do that as well, because some of these families are no longer in the area. Some of these headstones are from 1860s, 1870s. So, but to me, as a mayor of the city and for our, you know, people that lived here in the past, I think it's important to restore as much as we can in the cemetery, get it back where it was.
I'm also curious to know the fate of these downed trees. What's going to be done with them once they're cleaned out?
We're going to have another. We do have a tree program in town that it's a 50-50 match. So typically it's around $350 for tree. So what happens is the city comes and they'll plant you a new tree and water it and get it established in the fall. And then ownership will be on the homeowner from there. And there's a 90% success rate that these trees will take root and continue on. So my thoughts is that, you know, maybe we can do better than 50-50. Hopefully we get enough fundraising and efforts to actually have all these trees replanted in town, because, it's forestry management, right? People don't really think cities as forestry management. We do have urban forestry management town that, you know, these trees do provide significant value to the city as far as shade and energy cost and so on and so forth. So I think it's important to make sure we get these trees back planted and for future generations. It might not be in my generation, Terry, or yours, but somebody, you know, 30, 40 years from now would appreciate it.
I'll bet. We heard a lot of stories about how neighbors came to each other's help after the day after, particularly in the days following the tornado. What was the spirit of the community in those hours and days right after the tornado?
Yeah, right after the tornado. I mean, even that night, you know, I was trying to tell people to, you know, people are in that evening with chainsaws, cutting up wood and the whole nine yards. Sometimes I think it was too quick for safety reasons. However, you know, it was neighbor helping neighbor, you know, going door to door, clean up this neighbor, go to the next neighbor, and just keep going down the road, which says a lot about the city of Mayville. Our residents are blue, most of us are blue collar, hardworking men and women, and that, you know, yeah, we did have this disaster, but to the spirit of being Mayville people, we, you know, we're going to go forward and make sure everything is the way it needs to be done for everybody in town.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you think of any particular stories about people helping each other out in that time?
I can't think of just one thing. I mean, I was out helping cleaning up the Parks Department, some neighborhoods as well, and it just it's kind of like, it's hard to describe, because when you go through a disaster like that, you know, some people are in shock, and I know there was people for a couple of days that were in shock, They just couldn't believe their property was, you know, leveled or, you know, severely damaged. So, but once you get over that initial shock, I think that's when people are like, okay, this is what we got to do, X, Y, and Z. Let's just get it done. And that's where I'm glad that I live in a community that our citizens are all helping one another, whether it's younger, older, middle, you know, we're all there for each other.
Mm-hmm. Any word on any disaster funding from governments higher up?
Yeah, so we're probably not going to get any FEMA funding because to get the FEMA funding from the federal government, you have to, this governor has to call a state of emergency, and he didn't do that. And I don't think he has any intention to do that as of right now because of the dollar value isn't quite where it needs to be. And then the city has got to come up with some money from the state funding source for the disaster relief. It's like $4.75 a person, so it's $24,000 roughly the city needs to come up with. And I already budgeted a few years back when I was the previous mayor, already budgeted $20,000 and specifically for emergency fund for disaster, just like we're describing today. So that would help, you know, the taxpayer as well, because that funds are already set aside. So we're still waiting for the state. We had to have $11 million in losses, which I think just that one factor alone is well more, $11
million. $11
million? Yeah.
For losses total throughout the city.
Right. I'd say my estimated value of the total loss in the city is probably somewhere between $50 and $70 million. And I think we've already submitted the city's out-of-pocket cost. That was closer to $400,000 roughly for just the city's portion.
Okay. $60 to $70 million in total losses.
50 to 70, I'd say, yeah.
Okay. We're talking to Mayville Mayor Rob Belk about all kinds of things happening in Mayville. We're going to take a break here and be right back. You're listening to 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Whether you're waking up or getting ready to hit the hay, you can always count on great content from 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge in the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Federal officials in California are expected to announce today that a defendant linked to the primary suspect in the fertility clinic car bombing in Palm Springs has been arrested. He is expected to appear in Brooklyn federal court before being moved to California. In Washington, a big push to get that budget bill passed. President Trump is the one doing the pushing, trying to get Republican senators on board.
He is having private meetings in person here at the White House and also doing phone calls with Republican senators. And he's also putting public pressure on some of those holdouts through social media posts. Significant public pressure, including criticism of Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, saying that, you know, he doesn't understand what is in the bill and needs to vote yes on this.
ABC White House correspondent Karen Travis. U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum products were 25% yesterday and are 50% today. Price is expected to go up on everything from cars and appliances to groceries and toys. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
I'm Terry Bell. A Fall River teen is convicted of attempted murder. Dylan Lenz is pleading no contest. The 19-year-old met up with a girl from Beaver Dam in 2022, and police say he choked her and stabbed her with a box cutter before she ran from his vehicle near the Walmart parking lot. Lenz is set to be sentenced in September. A former Pewaukee man is the subject of a sweeping manhunt in Washington state. Authorities suspect Travis Decker of kidnapping and killing his three young daughters. They were found dead near Decker's pickup at a campground Monday. Decker's wanted for kidnapping and murder. Two Democratic members of Congress made a surprise visit to the Dodge County Jail this week. Congressman Mark Pocan and Congresswoman Gwen Moore showed up at the jail Monday morning. Congresswoman Moore says she was satisfied with what she saw.
We were pleased to see that it's basically a well-kept facility. They have medical facilities. They have recreation centers. And so this seems to be a well-run operation. They have mental health services.
Sheriff Dale Schmidt says the jail has a contract with the U.S. Marshal's Office to house ICE detainees. We're under an air quality alert. The Department of Natural Resources says it's a good idea to limit outdoor activity until around noon today. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at DailyDodge.com.
Daytime highs approaching 73 today under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows around 53. Highs around 75 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. 75 Friday with a slight chance for rain, 74 Saturday, showers continue. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently 62.
This news update is brought to you by Richards Insurance. Visit Richards Insurance in Beaver Dam, Columbus, Oshkosh, Watertown, and West Bend, or online at richardsinsurance.com.
Configuring the Bluetooth. Deciding who controls the music. Remembering where you parked. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your vehicle doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things. Like remembering if you're on the third or fourth level of the parking garage. That's simple human sense.
Visit Richards Insurance in Beaver Dam, Columbus, Oshkosh, Watertown, and West Bend, or online at richardsinsurance.com. News has been brought to you by Richards Insurance. Visit them in Beaver Dam, Oshkosh, Columbus, West Bend, and Watertown, or online at richardsinsurance.com.
Summer just got a whole lot hotter with the WBEV 95K giveaway presented by Newman Pools and Hometown Glass and Improvement. Join us all summer long at any Brock Fry location from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and try to crack the code on our prize vault for your shot at winning $95,000. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. One winner per household, one entry per person per stop. For complete rules and details and to find a complete Brock Fry schedule, visit dailydodge.com.
Shop the market at Beaver Dam. Juicy Angus Pride boneless beef sirloin tip steak is $6.99 a pound. Prepare fall off the bone St. Louis style spare ribs for $3.49 a pound. Whole or half racks, it's your call. Add color to your plate with fresh strawberries or raspberries, two for $5. And no shopping trip is complete without Cheetos, Fritos, or Funyuns. Grab three for $9.99. Bonus tip, use your market app and get a free 24-ounce Our Family Ketchup. Because what's summer without a squirt of ketchup? Shop and save with the market at Beaver Dam.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-746-3737. 800-746-3737. 800-746-3737.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back on community comment on 95.3 WBEV. And just before we get back to the action here, I wanted to remind you that McKinstry's Home Furnishings is in downtown Beaver Dam on Front Street under the red awning, and they are celebrating their 167-year anniversary. They have picture framing services. McKinstry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They've even framed a guitar. Best of all, you will be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKinstry's sales designers help you select the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take your frameable pieces to McKinstry's Home Furnishings, and you will be very happy you did. And now with more community comment, here's Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. We are talking to Mayville Mayor Rob Belk about the recent tornado that struck that community, one of the two probably hardest hit to communities not only in Dodge County but all over Wisconsin that night of May 15th. We want to move ahead to other topics, and Mayor Belk, I was curious to know more about a very important time in Mayville right now, and that's the formation of the next comprehensive plan. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're updating our 30-year comp plan. You know, of course, that's required by state statute for any kind of funding sources and stuff. So, and it's been outdated. So we're in the process of meeting monthly, update the plan, and we have a survey on our city website, you know, mablecity.com. So people in the community can take a survey to see what's important for you, because these surveys are going to be evaluated, each of them on its own merit, because this is what's going to steer the city of Mayville in the next 20 to 30 years and where we're headed. So it's important that the residents are aware of this and that they participate in the survey. I just did mine last night and put my comments down. It's an anonymous survey. So it'd be good to get more input from our citizens.
It may be difficult to imagine planning 30 years ahead. What sorts of components are in the comprehensive plan? What sorts of things, you know, are we able to plan for in 2025 that will still hold up, you know, in 30 years?
I would say probably the biggest thing is going to need to be housing, right? What kind of housing are they looking at? Are they wanting duplexes, you know, triplexes, side-by-sides, apartments, condos, you know, that's all part of the survey. What would you see Mabel's housing needs in the future? Would it be elderly assisted living, more of that? And just it kind of goes in depth on, you know, what they're looking at for housing. So housing, you know, last comprehensive plan, you know, that we did was 20 years ago. We thought maybe it would be 9,000 or 10,000 people right now. Well, as you are aware, Dodge County is losing population every year. We go down somewhere between 0.5% to 1% on average. Some communities are a little bit, below or above that number. But, you know, I'm on the county board as well, and I've seen the numbers. So, you know, Dodge County is not growing at a fast pace. We're actually decreasing our population. So that's important on the 30-year comp plan. Our parks department's important on the comp plan. What would you see or like to see in the city in our parks? There's some transportation issues on there as well, on our roads and streets, where they think we should be. So, and then, of course, there's a general questionnaire that, you know, what would, besides what's on the survey, what else would you like to see done in the city of Mayville?
Does a declining population pose any particular challenges as opposed to a city or a county that's seeing population growth?
Well, I think the biggest thing is on population growth. It affects, it doesn't, the city level, it does affect a little bit for funding from the state level, but a lot of it's at the school district level, you know, because every student, you know, typically the school district gets 10 to 15,000 roughly per student. So you want to continue your population growth for schools to make sure your schools are solvent.
And the comprehensive plan is an important document because really it's something that, you know, local officials have to stick to. This isn't just some sort of idea, suggestions, in order for anybody to build or anything, zoning requirements are built into this. Confirm that for me, if I'm wrong.
Yeah, your zoning and planning has input on the 3-year comp plan about, you know, where would you see your outlining districts? Do you want to keep them, you know, agricultural? Do you want to make that into residential? Or you want to make that a manufacturing? So, you know, if you have it on the plan and the city strays away from the plan, I mean, it can always be challenged, of course, in court or at the state level. So it's important to kind of make sure you're sticking with the plan. Of course, sometimes plans change, right? But you got to make sure you're following the process.
I was curious about that. What happens if circumstances, you know, 15, 20 years out from now really don't line up with these decisions that you're making in 2025? Can you pivot? Can you adapt?
Yes, you can. I mean, you know, a plan isn't, you know, necessarily 100% stone, but but the plan could be revised. You can revise the comp plan and start a new plan, or the city council is the ultimate authority of the city. They can make a resolution, you know, straying from the plan at that time that, hey, I understand, let's say if you have a residential neighborhood and you want to make it into manufacturing, as long as you give public notice to everybody in that area, we're going to stray away from the 30-year comp plan and change this to, you know, manufacturing from residential.
And you mentioned the online survey that people can fill out, and will that be a guide, or will the suggestions that people make, will the remarks people make, you know, really mandate what happens in this plan, or will it just be input?
Well, you know, surveys, a lot of it's input, right? But, you know, me personally, I'm on the committee, and I like to know what residents are thinking, and the only way you find out what residents are thinking is by, you know, surveys or actually knocking on people's doors and talking to the people that elected you in the position and see what their thoughts are. You know, I try to get out and about and talk to people in town as much as I can, whether it be different events or at the local pub, right? So it's always good to get more input. I mean, my thoughts been since I've been elected years ago is that, you know, two heads are better than one, and, you know, 5,000 is better than two.
And I think an important thing to point out is that the survey is anonymous, so Mayville residents should feel free to be as candid as they feel they need to be.
Right. Right. I encourage, you know, put down what you think should be done. I mean, one of my thoughts was that, you know, years ago we used to have we have two dams in the city, and one used to produce power, and we don't do that anymore, right, for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because of maintenance issues or what, but, you know, hydro power has come a long way over the last 20, 30 years. My thoughts were, is people probably don't realize this, but we pay a lot of money for our streetlights to be on at night. If we can offset our cost, which is taxpayer money, you know, by putting in some, you know, hydro power, maybe that's something we should look at and see if we can return our investment over the course of 5 years. I think it might be well worth the money to be spent to produce hydropower and offset some of our costs.
If anyone listening in Mayville wants to fill out that survey, where should they go?
Yeah, MayvilleCity.com is a good place at the city website, and the survey is right there in the front.
Very good, and just click on that.
Yep.
Very good. We are talking with Mayville Mayor Rob Belk about all things happening in Mayville. We're going to take a quick break here and be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
If you love brats and having a chance to win a lot of money, then don't miss any stops on the 2025 Brat Fry season and 95K sweepstakes presented by Pernet Premium Meats. No food or drink purchase necessary to participate in the contest. While there, help the John Moser Children's Radiothon and purchase a Pernet Premium Brat with a soda or water for just $2. Find the complete Brat Fry schedule on the Brat Fry page at DailyDodge.com.
Our next Brat Fry is Thursday, June 5th at Den Clinic Beaver Dam, 1321 North Spring Street, Beaver Dam.
Hello, this is Sandy from McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. I invite you to stop in and discover the Power Lift Chair Recliners. We have the largest selection in Dodge County, ready and available for prompt delivery. With the touch of a button, these chairs lift you to a standing position or recline you to a comfortable nap. You can even get a lift chair with heat and massage in it, or an adjustable headrest and lumbar support. Some models even have cup holders and wireless phone chargers. There are a variety of sizes in stock, from small to the big man's. Prices start at only $799. Don't worry about the power going out, because the lift chairs come with a battery backup. Delivery is free. If your loved one needs a lift chair in their room at an assisted living facility, McKinstry's will deliver it. McKinstry's is a lift chair service center. McKinstry's Home Furnishings, downtown Beaver Dam. Use the entrance in the tower parking lot, which is handicap accessible.
McKinstry's Home Furnishings, year after year. McKinstry's.
Thinking about selling your home in 2025? Well, unless you have a crystal ball or a time machine, it's best to start planning now. At Kladowski Real Estate, we don't bite, we don't pressure, and we definitely don't make you sign anything in blood. Just a relaxed chat about your real estate questions, dreams, and wants, even the weird ones. Spring market's here, and it's the perfect time to get ahead of the game. At Kladowski Real Estate, people are the priority, and we've got answers, snacks, and probably too many pens. Call today and let's talk real estate. Kladowski Real Estate, your trusted real estate advisors.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
And we are back with the last segment of Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV. Here's Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jake. We're talking with Mayville Mayor Rob Belk about all things happening in Mayville. And when it comes to local government, there may not be any bigger concern than the roads. That is a chief responsibility of the men and women who lead our municipalities. And Rob Belk, I understand that there is plenty to discuss in Mayville about transportation.
Yeah, we're under a major overhaul of our road system this year. Typically we do about $200,000 to $250,000 worth of repairs, and this year we're doing a little over $900,000 in repairs. So it's about not quite four times as much. Getting a lot of complaints about all the roads we're doing in town. However, you can't have it both ways. We can't have bad roads and you're going about the roads because they're bad. Now I'm doing the roads brand new and we're complaining there's some inconvenience, right? So it'll be great when it's done Northeast Asphalt got the contract this year, received the contract. They have a time limit, right? One thing with our contracts with the city, we have a certain time limit they have to meet, otherwise they get penalized. So that's why they've been seeing a lot of road construction right now all over town, so they meet their deadlines and that we get this updated sooner than later so our residents can have decent roads and not a bunch of pothole infested areas of town.
Anything happening besides repaving? Can people in Mayville and people who drive through Mayville expect things to be a little better in other regards after the work is done?
Now we do have a few parking lots that we're going to be redoing, city parking lots. So that'll be some improvement. I don't remember what we decided on as far as which parking lots are going to get redone. Next year we have already planned for a couple major street projects on Muzzy and Allen and some Grove Street. So that'll be coming next year. And of course that's all, part of the capital improvement plan. That's with the budget. And that's coming up. We're already in budget season. Believe it or not, Terry, it's first week of June, and we're in budget season already for next year.
Year flies by. Certainly does. So I know one thing that happens during road construction is that access to businesses can be quite compromised. In fact, it's a very difficult time for many businesses when the road construction, as badly as it needed, can be a temporary impediment. And some businesses go out of business completely. And I was wondering what's happening to help, keep businesses' lights on that are affected by the construction.
Yeah, so our construction in town really isn't having a lot of impact on our industry or local businesses. It's mostly residential. We do have one road in the North Industrial Park that's been gravel for 20-some years. And that's all going to get redone. So we're extending our water service out to the end by Slag Road, and we're going to have curb and gutter and a new blacktop. So that we'll have a little bit of impedance with some factories on north end of town, but not that much. And then, of course, Highway 28 is being redone between Mayville and Thresa this year by the state. And so there's truck routes that have to be rerouted. We're still have access to Mayville itself and downtown, but then I was just made aware that next year the bridge on North Main Street, the state's going to redo the bridge as well, so that's going to have some impact more next year than this year, I believe.
You mentioned the budget is the work on the next budget is underway. Tell me about what are some of the priorities coming up in Mayville for the next budget cycle.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, start with we're not borrowing any money this next year because we already borrowed it this year for next year's capital improvement projects. However, you know, our department heads, they're required to look in the future at what they're going to need in next, you know, probably 2 years or 3 years and put it on the CIP so we can kind of plan what we're going to need for money. And it so varies on the department on what they need, what they're going to need, whether it's going to be new trucks, new equipment, you know, whatever the case may be. And that includes our emergency services, you know, the ambulance, fire truck, whatever. But the biggest thing that, you know, I have to deal with is on the budget is that me and the finance chair will meet with all the department heads to see what's needed, what's not needed, and cut things out of the budget. However, it's always a balance, right, between taxpayer money and what's actually needed or versus wants. And it's that way across all government. So basically evaluating your needs and your wants.
Is there any particular line item that you think will generate plenty of debates in the community, that tug of war between needs and wants?
You know, maybe another fire truck. Mm-hmm. We just spent $1.5 million on a new ladder truck. I know they want some more equipment. That's going to have to get discussed a little bit more. You know, one thing about fire departments in the not just Mayville but the whole county is that, you know, we don't have a lot of volunteers anymore to volunteer to put out fires. So, you know, right now when we call in a fire call, we're calling for mutual aid between a couple of departments. So, you know, my wish is at some point in time I could get other leaders together to sit down and actually have an honest conversation about consolidating departments, whether it'd be Mayville with somebody, another municipality, and we have a lot of private fire departments up by us, or getting together with some private fire departments and see if we can work together or somehow come up with a plan and how to consolidate for future. I mean, ambulance service right now, I think, you know, I'm not going to toot Mabel's own horn, but we got a pretty good ambulance service in our county, and I think a lot of them strive to be Mayville, and that comes at a cost, right? So some of these local municipalities around us, I think, need to evaluate their own needs versus wants and whether they should think it's a good idea to approach Mabel and see if we can help them out and come up with some kind of a joint agreement.
And we're seeing in other parts of Dodge County consolidation and, you know, fire and rescue efforts becoming regional. It sounds like you think that could be feasible in the Mayville and surrounding area?
Yeah, the Dodge County Board did put some money aside for consolidating of emergency services. So there's money available. The state has also done the same thing because they see the need as well. And, if, you know, I don't have a crystal ball like anybody, but I think in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, something's going to have to change. We just can't keep status quo like we have been for the last 40 years. I mean, one thing I've noticed, you know, about being in government as long as I have over the last decade is that things considerably change and is constantly evolving. And if you're not evolving with society, you know, you're basically, you're a dinosaur. So you need to keep progressing forward. Now, I understand residents don't really like change. I don't like change either, but sometimes it's a necessity to keep going in our society the way we need to go.
Budget cycles, usually votes are taken towards the end of the year, which may seem like a long way off on the one hand, but like we said, the last 6 months have flown right by. What happens in the months to come on this, and how can the public get involved?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is that the month of June, we do all of our department CIP, capital improvement plan stuff, and then in first part of July, the city treasurer's office will actually take the forms to send out to the departments on their budgets and get actual numbers put to their budgets. And then by the end of July, that's pretty much set in stone. And then first part of August, me and the finance chair will meet with all the departments, with the administrator, and go over them and see what we need to cut and what we're not going to cut. And then usually by the end of August, beginning of September, the general public will start getting those notices on our website that we're going to have finance committee meetings as a whole and talk about the budget. And that's when participation within the residents can take place at City Hall under public comments, or they can always email their alderman or the mayor's office and tell them their thoughts of what should take place on the budget.
Does that ever happen that the public comment period results in, you know, significant changes to the plan up to that point?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes someone will bring something forward that, you know, I might have just totally forgot about, or for whatever reason, and then I'll say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. We should probably take that into consideration. You know, but, you know, honest with you, Terry, the municipal government level is, it's a complicated formula when we do budgets, because we have to meet our levy and spending restraints in the states, or we won't get our state aid. So that's always a delicate balance. And, you know, honestly, out of the budget, the whole budget stuff, I would say that probably 95% of the population really doesn't understand how the budget process works or how it goes. And the other 5% that do know how it goes, sometimes they don't even comment at all. Maybe it's not the right way to do it, but that's the process.
It is a bit of a conundrum. Rob Belk is the mayor of Mayville, recovering from tornadoes and looking ahead to forming its 30-year comprehensive plan. Residents of Mayville can participate in that survey at MayvilleCity.com. Rob Belk, we want to thank you so much for spending the last hour with us.
Well, thank you, Terry, for the time it took to you guys to get a hold of me and get this on the air. And I appreciate you and all your listeners and Beaver Dam and WBV for all you do for all of us. I think this is a great opportunity for residents to tune in and make sure that they can get advised of what's going on. So thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.